The following program is for information purposes only. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of 570 News, its management, or Rogers Communications.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Welcome to Ask the Experts on 570 News. Advice and tips from the people who really know. Now here's your host, Dave Callender.
Thanks so much for joining us and welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. Lovely Saturday afternoon, and we welcome you in as we welcome Stephen from Afterglow to the show today. Now, you probably have heard him on his commercials. If you are an avid listener of our stations, you're definitely going to... And right off the bat, you know, there's something a little bit different about Afterglow, because, Stephen, some of your commercials aren't really commercials. They're just talking about what's going on in your life and in our community. Why did you decide... To do that and wrap that into telling us a bit more about Afterglow and yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, we want to communicate and connect with the people, so we do choose a folksy way of delivering our commercials to connect with people and also tell stories about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea because I can tell you live here, you're part of this community, and you are actually active in the community. You're talking about things that I've heard about, landmarks I've seen, so it's a really great idea. Before you started doing that, I'd never heard of Afterglow before. How long have you been around? To tell us a bit about the company.
So, my dad started the company in 1991. So he invented a way of cleaning water heaters. So before, when they would lime up, we couldn't, you know, they would be thrown away. So he invented this way so we could flush them, and we evolved from water heating into furnaces, boilers, HVAC in general.
Mm-hmm. And did you know you all was going to go into this once your dad started things, or what's your background?
So I studied environmental studies at University of Waterloo, but I saw an opportunity with the company, so I said, I'm going to stick with this and make it into a viable business, which we have.
All right. Now, you also brought a guest along on the show today. Would you like to introduce your guest?
Sure. So this person is very dear and close to me. It's my son, Rowan. So he's a volunteer with the company, spokesman. Do you want to say hi?
Hello.
Hi, Rowan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Now, you're just a volunteer with the company, because I'd heard you were actually the CEO, and Stephen just wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, that is actually true.
That is true? Okay.
I'd have to say co-CEO. He's a twin, so I can't leave his brother.
So there's two CEOs. Oh, okay. Well, they're good. I'm glad we got that cleared up. Thanks for coming into the show today, Rowan.
And no problem.
Rowan will be our audience for the rest of the hour. So
I may have to consult with him, too.
That's probably true. You can consult with us as well throughout the hour if you've got questions about your water heater, about your furnace, anything to do with your heating and home comfort. You can call us and ask at 519-570-2545. Out of town, it's toll-free 1-800-570-5715, or you can call us hands-free on your cell phone at *570. And, of course, as you're listening to the show, you can learn more by going online to afterglow.ca. So, believe it or not, we actually had a whole bunch of snow about a week ago, and then it disappeared, and now it's slowly coming. But when all that snow hit, what happened to your phones? Did they suddenly light up?
We had trouble keeping up, really. And it's funny, the business really does follow the weather patterns. So when we had that deep cold, and it really, if my memory serves me right, it did start in October, so we had a pretty good start to the season, but when the weather lets up and gets warm, then, you know, the phone doesn't ring as much. It's just the way it is.
Well, I think it's safe to say that no matter what, winter is coming, so the snow was a good reminder, but just because it warms up a bit doesn't mean that you're not going to need a really well-working furnace. You're going to want to make sure everything's doing well. Let's start off today by talking a little bit more about thermostats. There's used to be there was just a thermostat. Now there's all sorts of different kinds of thermostats, correct?
Yeah, you might remember the round thermostat that probably was on everybody's wall back 40 years ago. So there are a wide variety of thermostats, most notably the programmable, which is widely accepted and most people have in their home. And then newly emerging is the Wi-Fi thermostat, which gives connectivity. You can access your thermostat remotely. So you're at work, or from your mobile phone, you're on your way home, you can adjust the temperature.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about those then. The programmable thermostat, good idea, bad idea? What do you think of those?
Overall, good idea. Now, you do need to set it back or turn it down. So in the wintertime, we're going to turn it down. You want to go at least 3 to 4 degrees and sustain that for a minimum of 4 hours. Otherwise, it's not doing any good. Mm-hmm. You're going to, as much energy as you lost or gained by not running it, you're going to use heating the house back up. So you want to have a sustained period of time, a minimum 4 hours.
Okay. And is this pretty much the standard thermostat nowadays? You said everyone's essentially got a programmable, or do we still, can you still buy the good old round thermostat?
Yeah, well, the industry's changed a lot. So a lot of the older thermostats had mercury in them. Mm-hmm. So most new thermostats, I think they phased it out. You'll still see the odd new thermostat that could go in with mercury in it, but largely they're non-mercury thermostats. So that's a good thing.
Okay. Now, the Wi-Fi thermostats as well, they are really gaining popularity. I know several people now have them. What do you think of the technology? Is it good?
I like it. I mean, we've adopted smartphones wherever we go. Another little app to give you access to your home thermostat to see what's happening, even to give fault codes so you know if you're away for a couple days that something's happening. So, and a lot of times you can connect them with your contractor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know specifically, for example, about the Nest connecting with a contractor. But you certainly can get alerts. The Ecobee version that we sell as a Canadian manufacturer, the contractor can also get alerts if there's something wrong with a house furnace.
Mm-hmm. So you sell and install these for folks then?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. And overall, how many different kinds of thermostats do you deal with that you could offer to your customers?
Really, it's unlimited.
Unlimited.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few different manufacturers, so I would say we could easily buy 50. We wouldn't even go there, but largely there's a lot. So for whatever application you need, some may not need programmable, some may not need cooling, some people may not want a battery to operate it, so it's just more of a mechanical thermostat. So there's a whole host of different thermostats.
All right. Well, we've covered how to turn your thermostat on, get the furnace going, and make sure that it stays going. Now we'll talk about the next big thing. When I was a kid, this time of year, I got to go downstairs to the furnace and change the filter. I thought that was a very special job back then, but it can be a little dusty. Let's talk more about furnace filters. There's big ones, there's thin ones. How do you choose? What's the best filter for you?
You know, I say to customers, I'm an environmentalist, but I still would not use a washable filter. I don't want that dust getting back into the house. So unfortunately, that's where I draw the line. I'd bring a garbage bag downstairs, throw that filter in, and get it out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be carrying it through the house. If you bump it, all those dust particulates are going to be airborne again in the house. So put it in a garbage bag and bring it right outside. So in terms of the style, generally speaking, you want a pleated filter. So when you're at the store, your contractor's over, it looks like it has a filter with little peaks and valleys, what we call pleated. Those are the best. They allow the filter to grab the dust, but also allow airflow to get through. And that's really important. Flat filters will impede airflow and then cause other problems with the heating.
Okay. What about comparing filters? How do we do that?
Well, there is the measurement, and it's the MERV rating, which is it's a little bit technical. It's the minimum efficiency reporting value. And they put these in the lab and test these things. So the higher the MERV, the better. And you'll probably see that, again, if you go to Home Hardware, wherever, you'll probably see a MERV rating. Look for something in between 8 and 14 that will give you good efficiency and decent airflow.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, to trap all that dust that's coming through.
All right, between 8 and 14. How high do they go?
Now, a HEPA, you'll see a HEPA probably in the 16 to 20 range.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get very fine. So if you have, there's somebody in the house with sensitivities, dust sensitivities, et cetera, you want to go into a HEPA style filter.
Okay.
Which will give you, close to 20.
MERV.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's familiar with HEPA filters, I think, now. They're in everything, but I've never heard of MERV before. So that's,
yeah, I think it's one of those industry technical terms, but it is the way filters are measured.
All right. So if you're out, at one of the stores picking one up, that's what you look for. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about home comfort for this time of year. We'll talk about humidity or the lack thereof in houses at this time of year and the importance of ventilation. We'd also like to hear about you. If you've turned on your furnace recently with the snowfall and realized, I don't think it's working the way it's supposed to, or if you've got a wonky water heater or something like that, give us a call, 519-570 2545. If you're out of town, toll free at 1-800-570-5715 or *570 hands-free on your cell phone. More coming up with Stephen from Afterglow here on 570 News.
570 News returns to Ask the Experts. Here's Dave Callender.
Today on the show, Stephen from Afterglow joins us. Afterglow, water, warmth, well-being. You've probably heard on the commercials. And that's what we're talking about today is making sure you've got the warmth part at the very least throughout the winter. The well-being and the water goes hand in hand. But if you've recently turned the furnace on and realized, I don't know if this is going to last through the winter. Today is the day to be listening to the show and calling in with your questions. 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. Of course, if you'd like more information as you listen to the show, fire up your web browser and go to afterglow.ca. Now, Stephen is not my only guest today. His son, Rowan, who is one of the co-CEOs of the company, is here today. Now, your brother's not here today, is he?
No, he isn't.
Okay. He must be doing important Afterglow stuff. But you said he has a delivery service, too?
Yes, he does. He does this free delivery service thing within Ward 10.
Within Ward 10. I don't even know what ward I'm in. If you're in Ward 10, then I guess you can get free delivery from Rowan, what's your brother's name?
Sasha.
From Sasha. Okay, well, we want to say hi to Sasha, and he's been listening today as well, I hope. I hope he listens all the time. And was there anything else you wanted to say?
I wanted to say hi to my brother Lyndon and my brother Sasha.
Okay.
And my mom.
And your mom. All right, I think we've got everyone covered now. If not, call in and say, how come he didn't say hello to me? Continuing along, this time of year, humidity, you're going to notice a big difference in your home. I certainly do. It gets incredibly dry.
Right.
And I didn't know this. You tell me Ontario homes in the winter can have about the same moisture level as a desert.
That's right.
It certainly feels like that, but that's really true?
Sure.
Wow.
So people may notice if their hands are feeling dry, like their skin is dry and you have to put a lot of lotion on, it's a telltale sign that your house is probably too dry.
So, obviously, we want to get the humidity up during the winter. How do we do that?
So, in some homes, so you'll see that loose homes generally, so these would be older homes or homes, you know, without any vapor barrier, are going to be drier. So you want to have, essentially, you get a humidifier. Attach it to the furnace and add some humidity. You don't want to add too much humidity because then, you know, windows start sweating, et cetera, but you want to get it into relative humidity around 35 to 40% in the wintertime.
So if you don't have a humidifier on your furnace now, is it a fairly simple thing to have one attached?
Yeah, relatively simple. I mean, it'll take a few hours to install. There's a little controller that you can obviously control the level of humidity that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's relatively simple.
And how does it affect the comfort in your home? If you've got a humidifier running properly, what are you going to notice?
Yeah, it's definitely going to increase the comfort. You'll be able to, you might be sleeping better. If people have dry coughs, et cetera, that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the skin. And some people also need it if they have, expensive instruments, musical instruments, hardwood, et cetera. Dry environments are going to take any bit of moisture that's in that and take it out. So you want to maintain, especially in those cases, you want to maintain that 35 to 40%.
Well, and not surprisingly, there are, of course, different types of humidifiers. We can talk about those, but I've heard about a steam-generating units. What's special about those?
Yeah, so what they've done is the unit will have a little element in and make steam, so you'll have water vapor that'll get inputted into the furnace system and whipped around with the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this area with the hard water, we've really struggled to make that a viable technology. So right now I'm not recommending steam, but there's some other better, there's still some very good humidifiers, non-steam, that we'd recommend over there.
And that really does depend on the area you live in, because as you say, our region, not well known for naturally soft water out there. We have very, very hard water in KW.
Right. From the wells, we get really hard water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got to counteract that then. Ventilation through the house also plays a very, very important role. What, maybe, you know, just for, oh, I don't know, maybe like a radio announcer like me who doesn't know very much about these things, what exactly is ventilation?
Yeah, ventilation, what we find, again, in newer homes, they're built to such a standard and efficiency that they're extremely tight. So, you know, if you're cooking, you know, you may have teenagers that are bringing their hockey equipment home, etc. You want to get that old, stale, maybe, you know, I wouldn't say dirty air, but maybe some odor in the air. You want to get that out, so you need a mechanical ventilator. It would be a little, you know, device with some fans, expel the bad air, and bring in some fresh air from outside.
Right.
Now, we can do that. There's great technology for that. We also want to recover. It's not just like opening a window. What you want to do is recover, so that bad air going out also has heat in it. So you want to be able to recover that heat as it's going outside, and that's where we call the heat recovery ventilator.
It's all
very
right.
Good technology around here.
Well, tell us a little bit more about them then. Obviously, you must recommend them to your customers.
We do. Overall, every house needs ventilation. If you can picture an older, say, 1920s house, there's a lot of, you know, the construction wasn't great back then, so there's a lot of air infiltration come from cracks and corners. It's still better to control where that air is coming in from instead of having it seep around, maybe some old asbestos pipes. You want a nice clean duct where you're bringing that air in. So you want nice fresh air, controlled, and then expel that old air.
It's an important distinction because I think most people these days are thinking, I want my house sealed as tight as I can so I don't lose energy. I want to save my energy dollars.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not the solution.
Well, it's the comfort side of that. Yeah, we want it to be efficient. And again, you know, the code and the building code states that we want to have very efficient homes, and that's wonderful. We want to reduce that, the energy consumption, but at the same time, we want to be healthy, and we want to have fresh air to breathe. We want it to be humid. We want it to be fresh. So we have technology to do that.
A couple minutes ago, you mentioned the whole problem of moisture on the windows. We've all seen it. You're in someone's house or business, and the windows are completely fogged up.
Right.
What's going on there?
Generally tight houses. And it could be, again, it could be dependent on that type of activity that's happening in that house. So, for example, somebody that has a large fish aquarium has, you know, they might have 6 square feet of water bubbling away, adding moisture into the air. That's going to be something you need to deal with. Get rid of that humidity. So that's where an HRV would come into play. There's other activities that cause a high humidity. But again, it really coincides with tight houses.
Okay.
There's no ventilation, so that humidity can't go anywhere. And you'll see it, you know, especially against when the temperature drops, against a cold window, you'll see that moisture build up.
So if I, as a listener today, call you up and say, Stephen, all of my windows are completely fogged up, help, what are you going to recommend?
Well, we're going to go visit and assess the situation. We may have a situation where there, you know, some windows, maybe in the far bedroom, that's not, that they're, the humidity or the moisture is building up. It may be an airflow issue in that room where they're not getting enough air to wash over the window to pull that humidity off. So it does depend, but if generally we'll go and measure the humidity. If we find that it's a high humidity, then we'd look at an HRV.
Okay.
The recovery ventilator.
And are those pretty much standard new construction homes now?
Very common in new construction, but not standard. So they,
okay.
For new homes, they have prescription on how to get score points. Some builders may opt for an HRV. Some builders may opt for a more efficient water heater, for example. Not necessarily in all new homes.
Okay. But a lot of older homes, this wasn't even around when the homes were built.
Yeah, the only older homes we see are homes that may have had UFI insulation put inside, and then the government realized that it wasn't such a great idea to have this UFI, so they put in these heat recovery ventilators to get any off-gassing out. So we may see some homes that this technology was put in the 70s and 80s.
So if you're looking at your windows today, folks, and it looks sort of like the bathroom after a shower, call Stephen and see, you know, he'll be able to help you out with that. My guest is Stephen from Afterglow. You'll find Afterglow here in KW. You can call them at 519-747-7732, and you can find more information online at afterglow.ca. But if you've got a question about your furnace or water heater and you want it answered right now, Well, we'll do that. Call us, 519-570-2545. Out of town, 800-570-5715. That's absolutely toll-free. And, of course, you can call us hands-free on your cell phone. It's *570. More of Ask the Experts is on the way in just a few minutes here on 570 News. Stephen on his commercials, Afterglow, water, warmth, well-being, and that's what we're here for today, to talk about the well-being of your home as we head into the winter months. And, of course, our lines are open for your questions. Let's head on over and take a phone call from Mark, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Mark. How are you? You're on 570 News.
Yeah, just have a question about a boiler.
Okay. A boiler, okay.
Got a 200,000 BTU output boiler, and it needs replacing. I was wondering what kind of price range for mid-efficiency we should be looking at, because I'm getting them from $4,000 to $16,000.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, you say 200,000 output, which is very big.
Yeah.
Is it for a home or a building?
No, it's for a home.
Okay. I have seen some big boilers in homes. Largely, they're way oversized. I'm not going to, you know, is your home a pretty big home?
Like 2,700
okay.
square feet. But it's, like, built in the late 1800s, so they're...
Right.
Bad windows, bad insulation.
Sure. I would recommend to get a study done to see how much heat you actually need.
Right.
200,000 is, like, we can heat small apartment buildings with 200,000.
Yeah, like, I did the heat loss calculator that I have on the internet.
Yeah.
And the worst I got was 183,000 recommended.
Okay. So price range, and you say you're looking for mid-efficiency?
Yeah, like the 85% kind of range.
Does depend, like, boilers are kind of a whole different beast. Depends on the piping, the type of venting the venting, and if there's any asbestos, and the size of the old boiler. Like, that looks like it's going to be a big boiler.
Yeah.
So price range, I mean, if you saw it for as low as four, that's pretty low.
Yes.
I would not go for four. Boilers typically would go from 6,000 and up.
Right.
We've seen boiler systems go for $20,000. Like, you can do a lot with a boiler.
Yeah.
But I would seriously consider going with high efficiency. We haven't really installed a mid-efficiency boiler in years. The best technology is high efficiency, and that's where you're going to save the most money.
Right.
Now, if it's, you know, you have to consider the budget, but a lot of times it would be worth investing in the money to go high efficiency.
Yeah, I just figure the difference between the mid and the high would, you know, it's almost 17 years to pay for the difference in the boiler, so.
Yeah, I think I look at it as there's an opportunity for you to make, to get the best piece of technology in to save you money starting today or, you know, whenever you replace it next week.
Right,
or week
and
after.
What kind of brands would you recommend then for boilers? Like, what's a good brand out there?
A good brand, there's a local company, Viessmann. They're based in Waterloo. The North American headquarters are in Waterloo. That's a good brand. We also deal with a Belgian-made Triangle Tube and another Canadian brand out of British Columbia called IBC. Those are our preferred brands that we carry.
Right.
But again, I think, in a nutshell, I would recommend high efficiency, really consider it.
Right.
The other thing is the codes are coming out today to try and limit the number of mid-efficiency. So this is a chimney-vented boiler.
Yeah.
TSSA, the governing body, doesn't want to see them. We want to see direct vent boilers. Because boilers tend to be on the riskier side in terms of carbon monoxide production. And so they're really pushing to get high-efficiency direct vent boilers.
Okay.
That help?
Yep, that helps.
All right, Mark.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in with your question today, Mark. And if you've got a question for Stephen, you can call in, too. The lines are still open at 519-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715, and *570. So, how much of a price bump is it going to be for someone like Mark if he's going to go from mid-efficiency up to high efficiency, which is where we want him to be?
Yeah. So I would say in a smaller home, you know, something that would need a boiler of less than 100,000 BTU, I would say it's a $2,000 bump.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get mid-efficiency. Again, it depends on what you want to do, what we call the near boiler piping. Really depends on what you want to do with that. And then the venting. But generally, I would say... $2,000 bump.
Okay.
But I have a boiler at home, so we've saved, I would say, about 33% on our gas bill going to high efficiency boiler.
Right. So and that will eventually pay for itself pay for over itself. Time. Yeah, yeah, especially if you're planning on being the home for another
That's 10, an important point.
Years.
So when we moved in, I realized we're going to upgrade the boiler because we knew we were going to own the house for a long time. Did it right away.
Right.
So you did it when the kids were born.
Same so day. if you know you're going to probably be moving in the next 2 to 3 years, maybe not a you know, you don't want to put in that huge, yeah. huge boiler right then.
See, that... I don't like that argument because I don't like saddling the next homeowner. I wouldn't want to be that homeowner buying a house right. that has a mid-efficiency boiler. Like, oh, I love this home, but you go in the basement, you see, okay, well, it's kind of like an old technology. Mid-efficiency boilers are old technology. So I would really, especially if it was only a couple years old, I'd say, oh, that's too bad. There was an opportunity here to do an upgrade, do really a good job on the house with the heating system, but it was missed.
Mm-hmm.
That... I wouldn't like to see that.
No.
That's my
and
opinion.
That might that actually might make a potential buyer take a pass and go on to a house that is outfitted a bit better.
I would think it as a signal that, you know, most, I would say 90% of residential boilers being installed today are high efficiency.
Right.
So you really want to go that direction.
Well, Mark's phone call was kind of well-timed because I was going to talk to you about mid-efficiency furnaces and... I understand the code changed a few years ago to phase out mid-efficiency furnaces. How has that affected the homes you go to?
Yeah, I'll just step back a bit. So chimney-vented appliances are really, the government and the regulating bodies are looking to get rid of them. They're not as safe as the new high-efficiency technology and the direct venting with a plastic pipe out the side, or you could go up through the roof. So the furnaces were the first, the mid-efficiency furnaces were the first ones to say goodbye. Now they want better efficiency, especially for new homes. So boilers, it's down the road that mid-efficiency boilers will be gone. Mid-efficiency, you know, standard water heaters, so chimney-vented water heaters, they're going to be out, you know, soon they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm saying soon, it'll be, you know, 4 to 6 years.
Right.
We'll see that technology essentially be regulated away, out. So... Now homes have to be fitted with, you know, you'll see the plastic vent. Most new homes or homes built really since the 80s have plastic vent for the furnaces. That's the norm now.
That is.
Yeah.
Can you, I know they're phasing them out. Could you even get a mid-efficiency furnace at this point? Is
no.
anyone still selling them?
We stocked up. When the code changed in 2000, we stocked up. We bought, you know, 20 mid-efficiency furnaces because we knew there'd be a demand for it, but they're gone. They're pretty much long gone. Now, I still believe you can buy them in the States, but I don't think you can bring them over.
Right. And even if you could, really, is it worth it? I mean,
yeah, it's not. I mean, you might be able to buy a used one, but nobody's really doing that.
All right, let's talk more about high-efficiency furnaces then. When you're shopping for a new furnace, what are some of the features you think people should look for?
Yeah, the high-efficiency furnace, great product. You should be looking at a couple things. If there's a multi-stage burner. So this, you know, the old furnace were single stage. So I like the analogy of when you're leaving your driveway in your car and it's pedal to the metal. That's what the old furnace was like. You just take off.
Right.
And when you need to stop, it's full brake. So it's on, off, nothing else. So the technology has changed where we have multiple stages. So two stage, you might have a low fire and a high fire. And then the best technology is what we call modulating. So there's multiple stages. So it'll try and match. Essentially, what you're trying to do is match the heat that's being lost from the house. You want to input that from your furnace.
Mm-hmm.
So the closer you can match that, the better. And multi-stage or modulating furnaces can do that.
All right. So that's definitely one thing we want included. Any other features we should ask for?
So the fan that moves the air around, we want it to be a high efficiency. We call it ECM fan. It runs at about a sixth the power of an old furnace fan. So that's the other thing. And there's some rebates from... Ontario Power Authority for that too. So
mm-hmm.
multi-stage and the high efficiency fan.
Okay. Anything else?
Then you're looking, you know, you're looking at some of the stuff that can help the furnace and deliver you more better comfort. So it might be that thermostat. You know, you might go with a 4-inch pleated filter or a UV light, you know, the humidifier. So it's stuff that would attach to the furnace.
Mm-hmm. So if someone calls you, say, hey, I heard you on Ask the Experts on the weekend. We want to replace the furnace. What's the process? What do you do for folks when they call you just out of the blue?
Yeah, so we'll I wouldn't say a short interview, but we ask some questions on the phone, try and get a sense of, you know, how many people in the home, what's the comfort level, you know, how old is the home, how big is the home, and then we would go do a free consult at the home.
Mm-hmm.
We'd look at getting a sizing, so looking at the heat loss, analyzing if there's hot or cold spots in the home, any special needs in terms of, you know, if there's lack of humidity, et cetera. And then we would present what we thought were some good options to help them, A, save money, B, be safer, and then improve the comfort.
And time frame-wise, if I call you today and say, I think we need a new furnace, when am I going to have my new furnace installed and actually up and running?
Well, it's a triage. So our business is, and I sometimes get used to this, sometimes I try and buy services, and I want them to act like we act. Sometimes we get a call. I've got technicians on call right now. We get a call, we're responding right away. So if we have, and you know, we have an emergency, the furnace is out, we're replacing, we're running next day, it needs to be. And we may, you know, we don't like to bump, but if we're going to triage, we could call the customer who's maybe had a furnace planned, but is still heating. We'd say, hey, can we move you to Thursday? We want to just get this, fit this one in. So we try and do what we can to.
That quickly. That's amazing. If you're having but really, if you've got an emergency, what are you going to do? Put on several layers of clothes and just, you know, hope?
Oh, yeah. So, we respond to some commercial work too. We have to, you act really quickly on that. So, yeah, we're in the business of responding on an emergency.
You just mentioned commercial property. So and I know this isn't on the list, but how much is your business divided up? How much is home and how much is commercial?
Yeah, I would say a lot of it, we do probably a 60% residential, 40% commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But our commercial is generally multi-residential and then office complex.
Right.
So that type of business.
And do people know you for that as well? Because I guess my supposition here is that when we hear Afterglow on the radio, it's warm, it's homey, you think about it. If you're a business owner, do people think of you as a business solution?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So we do. So we were born, again, when I say my dad started the company with water heaters, we're born in hot water. So we do a lot of domestic hot water, which is shower water, and boilers. We do a lot of boiler work. And then we have crews that do the HVAC. So that boiler work will take us into some pretty big projects.
Okay. So there you go. Afterglow can handle it all, really. We've been talking about the fact that, what professional association doesn't want you venting through things through your chimney anymore? You said a name.
Oh, generally speaking, I would say the gas companies and the TSSA. The TSSA is the Technical Standards and Safety Association.
TSSA.
They're the ones who govern our industry, and they're looking at how do we operate, how to make sure this equipment's operating more safely. And generally speaking, chimneys are not the safest way of venting appliances. Now, we have people say, oh, they've been vented like that for, who knows, 50 years. Why has it changed? But our homes have changed a lot more. You know, we're getting a kitchen retrofitted. We're putting in a 200 CFM fan that'll suck all that, you know, the food odor away. That's affecting, your chimney will be affected by that.
Well, my very weird and roundabout question leads back to chimneys, actually. It's like, since this is the norm now, we've got more gas heaters that are vented out the side. What's happening with chimneys? Are they just decorative now, or?
Yeah, really, they are. I mean, I really had a romantic, I really like chimneys, I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made houses look nice. But over the years, you realize how unsafe they are. I'm not trying to, you know, have a scare tactic or anything, but you'll see backdrafting. So if there's fans on, you have a bathroom fan on and a kitchen exhaust hood on, you'll see backdrafting down that chimney against that appliance, and then the products of combustion will spill out into the basement. So you see that more today, and especially in tighter homes where people have re-insulated an older home, you'll see that backdrafting down the chimney. It's just not acceptable.
No.
And dangerous.
So more and more people just have their chimneys sitting there, and we hope that they're not really doing much of anything in the house.
Right.
Things are vented other ways now.
Yeah.
That's
now, if you see some chimneys, and you know, we respond to these calls where, you know, the bricks are starting to peel off, or you know, they look in rough shape. It's typically because the appliances are, the exhaust gas is going up, it's cooling, and then the moisture is coming in and leaching into that brick, and then maybe freezing and popping it. Essentially, the chimney's not functioning properly anymore, and you have to do something.
All right. My guest is Stephen from Afterglow. He is the general manager. Afterglow.ca is the website. If you'd like to learn more as you listen to the show, you can call them at 519-747-7732. But as we head into our final segment of the show, now would be a great time to call with your questions live on the air. 519-570-2545. If you're out of town, call us toll-free at 1-800-570-5715. Or you can call us hands-free on your cell phone at star 570. More of Ask the Experts coming up on 570 News. And we've also been inviting listeners to call in with their questions about their home comfort systems. John is on the line now. Hi there, John. You're on 570 News.
Hi there.
Hi, John.
Stephen. Yeah. I heard Stephen talking about humidifiers, but we have to be, our house is heated with end-floor heat. And we have to use a dehumidifier because the humidity is going up to about 80% or sometimes.
Goodness.
Okay. So you have to look. Oh, hi, John. What you want to do is you want to look to see where the source of that humidity is coming from. Generally, the in-floor is not going to make more humidity. And now, is that your whole house that it's heated radiantly like that?
Yeah, it's the whole house, yep.
Oh, it's an old house, okay. And you have high humidity.
Very high. Like it was up to 80% there last week until we got the dehumidifier going up, and then.
So you run a dehumidifier.
Dehumidifier, yeah.
So that's something you run all year round.
No, mostly in the wintertime.
Oh, mostly in the wintertime.
So when you turn on this in-floor heating, then John, the humidity in the house just starts going up.
Well, it. Usually just goes up whenever it starts to get cold, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple things you may want to consider, like bathroom fans. So if you're bathing, showering, any kind of source of humidity, if there's a way to expel that. So I would say if you have a bathroom fan, do you have a bathroom fan or a range hood?
Yeah.
Both
of it. Yeah, we have a fan in the bathroom and also a range hood, yeah.
You know what I would do? Just to test. I would, or if you say, for example, today you have high humidity, throw that bathroom fan on and leave it run all night long. Leave it run till tomorrow, this time tomorrow, and then measure your humidity to see if it's changed. Likely, you're exhausting kind of that highly humid air, and you're going to be bringing in, through cracks and crevices if you don't have another air source, the drier air that's outside. But I would try that to see about exhausting it. That would likely lead to, a mechanical ventilator, like an HRV, that would help you.
Oh, okay. Like the bathroom fans, we couldn't leave it on because it's on it's on timers.
You might have it limited to like 20 minutes or half an hour or something.
30 minutes. Yeah, that's right.
And what about the range? Like what I'm trying to illustrate there is just to get an exhaust fan or some kind of fan to get rid of that air. So you're going to essentially exhaust all the air that's in the house and see what happens. Likely your humidity is going to drop, but you have to look at where that humidity is coming from somewhere. You got to try and track that source. Not often, but a high water table can contribute. So you have, a basement that's really humid that's affecting the whole house. But I would turn the fan on, get rid of that air, and then see what it's like tomorrow. But it sounds like you probably need what we call an HRV.
I see.
That's the heat recovery ventilator.
Yeah,
correct?
It's a ventilator that will exhaust the air in the house. You'll recover some heat when it's going out with the incoming air that's coming in, and you'll bring the air outside is going to be drier than the air that's in your house. So you'll be replacing.
That is something that usually works to a duct system, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they do have, you can do it so it's a standalone. You may have to do a little bit of ducting, but yeah, I understand you don't have any ducts in your house with your radiant floor, but that's the type of technology, and they can run on their own. It's best to incorporate it into a forced air system, but if obviously you don't have that, it's like my house, you can still get some exhaust happening. You may have to put a couple ducts in to, pull the air from, say, the living space, exhaust it out, and then dump it back into the house. There might be a little bit of ducting you'd have to do.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you, John, for your phone call. And again, the lines are open at 519-570-2545 or hands-free on your cell phone at star 570. We've been kind of focusing on furnaces the last segment, so let's talk a little bit more about water heaters, because water heaters is also it's where you started, and
that's
it's
right.
A big part of the business. What are any new innovations for water heaters these days?
Yeah, the we saw the rise of the tankless water heaters.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, mid-2000s, very popular. Their popularity is waning a little bit. I think people realize that actually can cause a higher consumption of energy. What happens is they advertise it that they're efficient, and they are, but that they can also provide endless hot water. So when the old water heater, when the teenager was having a shower and it went cold, they got out. Now you can have a 40-minute shower. You can have back-to-back 40-minute showers where you couldn't with an old water heater. So there are studies that show that tankless water heaters result in an increase in your energy bill because you're enabling to use more hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen sales for a tankless water heater slide a little bit, which is okay by me. We want to try and provide the best solutions for homes. One of the more interesting solutions we find is for empty nesters, 1 to 2 people in a house. We oversize an electric water heater and we have it come on at off peak. So you're getting into a relatively inexpensive water heater and heating it off peak. So this is, after 7 o'clock where the electricity rates are very low. 1 to 2 people don't consume a lot of energy or use a lot of hot water. So, cost-wise, it makes sense to do that. So we've seen that as a popular way for, again, these are empty nesters or 1 to 2 people in the house.
Okay. So there we have it then. The whole tankless movement seems to have died off a little bit, and you are seeing more people choosing water heaters with tanks then.
Definitely, yeah. And then there is an emergence of high-efficiency water heaters. Really, it wasn't a viable option 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, the local company that was once here, GSW up in Fergus, they were bought out by A. O. Smith. They have introduced a high-efficiency tank-style water heater. It's a good tank, and you get that high efficiency.
Doing any of these kinds of upgrades we've been talking about today, for a lot of people, the impetus is because their energy bills are simply too high. What can you do if you've got really high energy bills?
Really, it's two-prong. You want to look at the building envelope, for starters. Is there a way that you can keep the heat inside? So that's why, the building code states they want efficient homes with good insulation to keep the heat in. So if you're in an older home, do what you can to insulate, spray the headers in the basement, add more insulation when you're renovating a room. Seal up the envelope to reduce the heat load. Secondly, you want to get equipment that is efficient so that you maximize that, your dollar spent.
Mm-hmm. In an older home that has none of these modern conveniences, upgrading to one of these new systems, roughly, how much of an energy savings can you see?
So, again, I'll go by my experience. Mm-hmm. We live in an older home with a boiler. We upgraded the boiler. We saw about a third savings that way. Furnaces, we've seen anywhere from 15 to 25%. Now, the other side of it is we've had older homes with oversized equipment. So right-sizing the equipment is also going to give you an efficiency bump and money savings bump. Like, again, we've seen an old house in Waterloo, 250,000 BTU, way oversized.
Mm-hmm.
Probably only needs 80,000 BTU. So they're going to see a significant savings when they right-size it and then go to high efficiency.
With about a minute left in the show, I just want to quickly touch on maintenance. Should we have our gas heater looked at every year?
We feel so. You want it to make sure that it's operating safely, efficiently, and optimize that maintenance. I know Kitchen Utilities last year said, every gas appliance in your house should be looked at. I think it is the way to go. The code states that the equipment should be looked after per manufacturer's instructions. The manufacturer's instructions say visit it every year. So it is a good idea to do it every year.
Okay. If you still have questions about your home heating system or your water heater, then give Afterglow a call at 519 747-7732 or go online and learn more at afterglow.ca. Stephen, want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And Rowan, I want to thank you for being on the show today and feeding your dad all this information.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go. Again, my guest today, Stephen from Afterglow, online at afterglow.ca. Stick around. More of Ask the Experts is coming up right here on 570 News.